The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 4, text number 22, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Hadhikari, recorded on December 21st, 2006, in Sydney, Australia.
So tonight we will study Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 4, text number 22. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yadrichcha labba santushto dvandvatito vimatsaraha samatse vavad siddhaucha kritvapina nibhajyate. He who is satisfied with gain which comes of its own accord, who is free from duality and does not envy, who is steady in both success and failure, is never entangled, although performing actions. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. A Krishna conscious person does not make much endeavor even to maintain his body. He is satisfied with gains which are obtained of their own accord. He neither begs nor borrows, but he labors honestly as far as is in his power and is satisfied with whatever is obtained by his own honest labor. He is therefore independent in his livelihood. He does not allow anyone's service to hamper his own service in Krishna consciousness. However, for the service of the Lord, he can participate in any kind of action without being disturbed by the duality of the material world. The duality of the material world is felt in terms of heat and cold, or misery and happiness. A Krishna conscious person is above duality, because he does not hesitate to act in any way for the satisfaction of Krishna. Therefore, he is steady both in success and in failure. These signs are visible when one is fully in transcendental knowledge. Oma jnana timanandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namah. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadam Hayam Dadati Svabhadantikam. So, this is revolutionary knowledge. To revolutionize our hearts and revolutionize the entire human society. So, there is nothing more important than to understand it very, very clearly and to put it into practical application in all times, all places, and all circumstances, with every thought, with every word, and with every deed. It's an interesting point. He's independent in his livelihood. He does not allow anyone's service to hamper his own service in Krishna consciousness. In other words, somebody's working a job which turns out to not be favorable for their Krishna consciousness. Or even they have a career that they had chosen. They found this career is not favorable for their Krishna consciousness. They'll drop that career and do something else. Even if it was a materially lucrative career, If they find that this career wasn't really conducive for chanting my 16 rounds peacefully every day, well, I'll get a new career, because my most important career is to chant 16 rounds regularly every day. So in these other services, you know, working for some company, those can be dropped at any time. But for Krishna, it's just the opposite. Completely opposite situation. Devotee will do anything and everything for Krishna. Because he is not concerned with success or failure, he's steady in both, therefore he is always successful. What is the success of a devotee? Success is to be Krishna conscious. So no matter what externally may have happened, if he was Krishna conscious, he was the victor. I mean, he may have dropped dead that day. I mean, it happens every now and then. We drop dead. You know. Everybody checks out of the hotel today or tomorrow anyway. So it's something that happens regularly. We drop dead. So that's. But if one is Krishna conscious, then you're always successful, whatever you do, because you're remembering Krishna. Why is that success? You see, in the material world, we don't measure success by Krishna consciousness. We measure it by money, power, prestige. You see, that is considered success. But what is money, power, and prestige anyway? The whole thing is just a phantasmagoria on the screen of the Mahatattva. It's not really us. It really isn't. We think it is. I said, okay, all the men raise their hand and all the ladies raise their hand, and everybody dutifully identified with the male and female body. Actually, we're not men or women. We're spirit souls. We have nothing to do with this earth, where earth, water, fire, air, and ether, mucus, stool, blood, so many wonderful ingredients. We have nothing to do with it. It's not us. So if we can connect with our actual nature, that nature which is transcendental to all of the influences of this material existence, then we are always the most successful person. There is no one more successful than that person who is absorbed in Krishna bhakti 24 hours daily. That is the epitome of success. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I would rather be an insect in the house of a Vaishnava than to be a non-devotee Brahma. In this material world, that's the biggest position you can have, Brahma. It's the highest you can go up the ladder. But if you're not Krishna conscious, it's better to be an insect in the house of a devotee than to be a Brahma. Steady in success and failure. There's one example. I have not ever been a sailor, but I heard that you could sail into the wind, so I looked it up on the internet. Sailing into the wind. I type it in. And I found out, according to the laws of physics, you can actually, as I remember, you can go straight into the wind. But the sails, a certain type of sail, you can actually go, you can use the wind coming this way to go this way. And I was thinking that Krishna consciousness is like them. No matter which way the wind blows, whether you're whether from the material viewpoint there is success or there is failure, if you're in Krishna consciousness, you can continue to advance forward and become more and more and more successful in Krishna consciousness. It is simply a matter of how we see everything. It's a matter of changing the consciousness. Why do we emphasize consciousness so much? Two people are acting just the same. How many warriors were fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? They were all doing the same thing. They were fighting and killing. Arjuna became liberated by that fighting and killing. Of course, they all got liberated because they were killed in the presence of Krishna. But the point is, in this material world, so many people are doing things. They're cooking. They're vibrating. So many things we are doing. But the consciousness in which those things are being done, that is the determining factor. We have 24 hours a day at our disposal, and we're going to be doing something with those 24 hours. Now, with what consciousness we do that, that will either make us a failure or a success. What is the consciousness with which we will fill in those? What consciousness will we have while we go through those 24 hours? If we can tune into Krishna, that is success. Why? Someone may say, well, you know, it's just your religion. You're just another cult like so many other cults. They argue like that, isn't it? If this was a cult, I wouldn't be here. I don't like cults. I'm interested in higher knowledge. I want to know who I am, what is the purpose of existence, why am I here, how can I perfect my existence. These answers Prabhupada has given better than anyone else. That's why I'm here. No one has answered these questions like Prabhupada. So thoroughly, so completely, so perfectly. No one has come close to Srila Prabhupada in explaining the meaning and the purpose of existence. This philosophy explains everything. It doesn't leave any stone unturned. It answers every single question. This is perfect knowledge. Raja Vidya. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Vajakshavagamam Dharmyam Shushukam Kartamam. There is nothing like this science of Krishna consciousness. If you boil it down to a nutshell, what are we really saying here in this moment? What are we really saying? It's a very simple thing. All we're really asking people is this. My dear sir, we simply to ask you to know who you are and to be who you are. If someone asks you, what is your Hare Krishna philosophy? You say, know who you are and be who you are. That's a simple thing. My dear sir, would you like to know who you are? No, I don't care to know who I am. This will let me stay in illusion. Actually, any gentleman, if he's given the opportunity to actually know who he is, wouldn't he want to know? Only a fool would say, no, I don't want to know who I am. My dear sir, you have an identity that you don't even know who you are. You have an identity that entitles you to unlimited opulence. Would you like to know who you are? Your father has unlimited power. He has unlimited beauty. He has unlimited renunciation, unlimited knowledge, unlimited wealth, and unlimited fame. And you're his dear son. Now would you like to know who you are? You may think, maybe I'm the long-lost son of Bill Gates. But no, this is far more opulent than that. So who would not want to know who they are? Say, no, I don't want to know who I am. So this is actually the most down-to-earth philosophy in the history of the universe. There's nothing more down-to-earth than Krishna consciousness. It's not some far-out, kooky, new-age concoction. This is the pure essence of existence. So, we are prepared to enlighten the whole world as to who they actually are and how to be who they actually are by taking up sadhana bhakti. The practical activities that awaken their remembrance of who they actually are. Actually, we have all come here from the spiritual world. We were all engaged in the pastimes of the Lord in various ways. Everyone has a swarup, or an original form, in the spiritual existence. But we traded it in for a rotting corpse. This is called Mahamudha. We have traded in our svarup for a rotting corpse that gets sick, that gets old, that goes hard of hearing like I'm going hard of hearing now. We traded in, how foolish we are. We have traded in that eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss existence for asat achit niranandam. This is absolutely asinine thing we have done. But the good news is we can overcome it. By the mercy of the bona fide guru, we can overcome this mistake and be forgiven by the Lord for our foolish rebellion against him. We tried to pull off a coup and we got kicked out. But the Lord is willing to welcome us back with open arms. Come on, my dear son. Come back. My dear daughter, come back. You are welcome. You can regain your position in my eternal pastimes. Of course, we should not try to guess. That is called sahajya. That is not favorable, to try to think, well, maybe I must be a peacock because when I was a new Govardhan, I was really attracted to the peacocks. We shouldn't think like that. Well, I really like women, so maybe I'm a gopi. You shouldn't think that way. We should simply be the humble servant of our spiritual master. Simply become the completely sold out servant of our beloved Guru Maharaj. And then, in his service, by total dedication to his lotus feet, then everything becomes revealed. How to serve him perfectly how to serve Guru Maharaj perfectly with every thought, every word, every deed, in all circumstances. One becomes completely cleansed of all the anarthas, all the tendencies for lust, tendencies for anger, the tendencies for greed, when that crud is finally completely wiped out of the heart. You see? One can actually realize who you are in the spiritual world. And under the guidance of advanced transcendentalists, actually take up that activity. But we don't, that's something in the future for us. Now we just have to faithfully serve and know that everything will come. Everything will come. Everything will come to us. Just do our duty. Faithfully chant our rounds. Faithfully worship the deities. Faithfully serve the Vaishnavas with love. A very important point was made in this verse. Who does not envy? This is the cause for all fall. Envy. So envy is the most important thing to get rid of. This point was discussed recently in a class in Sri Vrindavan Dham. You have to not be envious. So how does one not be envious? You could say, well, I'm not going to be envious. I can't be envious. That's not the most effective way to conquer envy. Most effective way is the proactive approach. You learn how to love and appreciate every devotee. You cultivate appreciation for every Vaishnava. Oh, this devotee has that nice quality, and this devotee has that nice quality. Just meditate on all the nice qualities of all the devotees, you see. Fill your heart with love and appreciation for all the devotees. In your own mind, think, well, this devotee, just like today, this wonderful devotee here picked me up at the airport so nicely, with such loving feeling. He took good care of Vishnupriya Manaji and myself. So I can always remember these nice qualities. How lovingly he took care of us. He said, you show me your suitcase and I will take it off the belt for you. You see? So I can think how affectionately and lovingly he has offered his service. So in this way, we can always see and know and remember the wonderful qualities of the devotees. Then where's the question of envy? If we're always loving and appreciating the devotees, then where is the question of envy? There won't be any room for it. So this is the easy way to become free of envy. Just fill the heart with so much love and appreciation of the devotees. Is never entangled all over performing actions. So, what is the secret of not being entangled while performing actions? The secret is, on whose account are you performing them? If we perform actions for our sense gratification, we will become very, very, very entangled. That's a fact. But if those same actions are performed for Krishna, the more we perform those actions, we become freer and freer and freer from entanglement. The same action, but with different consciousness. One businessman is working very hard to become a multimillionaire so he can, you know, have a fleet of Rolls Royces and a yacht and, you know, three mansions on the sea and, you know, a jet, you know, Another man is working very hard, businessman, to become multimillionaire so he can build Krishna temples all over Australia. So, one businessman is becoming more and more entangled by his enthusiasm to make more and more money. And the other businessman is becoming more and more liberated by his enthusiasm to make big money. It's the consciousness. Where is the result going? You see, that's the difference. Yad karoshi, yad ashnasi, yad jahosi, dadasi yad, yad tapashyashi konteya, tat kadushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. So we have to fully, totally, completely offer ourselves to Krishna. We cannot hold anything back. We were told in the old days that Prabhupada said, I didn't hear directly, but it sounds true. Prabhupada said, Krishna does not see what you are offering, but he sees what you are holding back. And there's actually a similar story in the Bible. Some poor woman, she had practically nothing, but whatever little thing she had, she gave all of that to Jesus. And some wealthy businessman, he gave so much more, but it was just an insignificant portion of his wealth. So who was appreciated more? That poor woman who just gave a little tiny bit. Because she gave everything. And then in our Vedic literature, we have the story of the spider and Hanuman. You see? Hanuman, he's putting big, big boulders to build that bridge to Lanka. That little spider is just putting in some dust. Hanuman is saying, who do you think you are, you little spider? Get out of the way, you know, he's in the way. Lord Ram said, no, Hanuman, he's doing his service is as great as your service. So we may not be a big, big Hanuman who can, you know, recruit 10,000 new devotees and distribute 27,000 books in one sale, just like our Gopal Krishna Maharaj. He just did, in one preaching, he distributed 27,000 books. That's pretty good. How many Sankirtan devotees can go out? Well, how many books should they do? Well, he did 27,000 books today. In one preaching, two businessmen came to the temple. He preached to them with such potency, they turned around and bought 27,000 Bhagavad Gitas. Money up front. 27,000 books in one sale. That's pretty good. So, we may not be able to do 27,000 books in one sale. But whatever we can do, we must do it, put our whole heart into it. That is the point. We must put our whole heart into it. And in this way, Krishna will recognize, yes, this person is giving me everything. This person is not holding anything back. I will give myself to this person. You see? Krishna gives himself to us in proportion as we give ourselves to him. So, we must give ourselves fully to Krishna if we want Krishna. We can't cheat Krishna. If you try to cheat, you will find that Krishna is the supreme cheater. You cannot outsmart Krishna in some kind of wheeling and dealing. No, it's not possible. If you try to fleece Krishna, he will out-fleece you. No doubt. So we might as well just honestly say, okay, Krishna, I give up my war against you. I surrender. Take me, I'm yours. Please engage me in your eternal devotional service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So now we can ask if there's any questions. You'll need to speak up. My ears are blocked pretty badly today from the airplane. If you have any questions, say it. Enunciate clearly and say it loudly. Yeah.
About the relationship between disciple and spiritual master.
The difference?
The relationship.
The relationship, okay.
And I was trying to flip through Bhagavad Gita to find a verse that describes how the spiritual master can impart knowledge.
Yes, 434. Tadvidi, chapter 4, text number 34. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshina. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively. Render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. That's the verse.
Is there another one?
That's the most, you could say, guru-esque verse in the whole Bhagavad Gita. There are others, but that's the most guru-esque verse in terms of emphasizing approaching the spiritual master with humility, submissive inquiry, and service. There's other places where gurus describe yad yad acharati shreshtas tattarevetaro jarat sayat pramanam kurute lokastadanivartite. Whatever a great soul does, the common people follow in his footsteps. Whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So a bona fide spiritual master has great impact on the whole planet. He has very powerful impact. A bona fide spiritual master can inspire the entire world to take to this movement, actually. That's another verse. Yes, do you know some other verse?
Yeah. Probably you train people or do a spiritual course on the internet.
Yes.
And I'd like to ask you, what's the most common obstacle in spiritual life amongst your students? And how you advise
the greatest obstacle that I find the people who I'm training is a major obstacle is livelihood. Having to go out and put so much time into earning their living every day. I mean, in terms of practical day-to-day activities, all that time that has to go into making money. The modern day society is such a dog-eat-dog, rat race madhouse that it's very difficult for them to have quality time for sadhana. And I see that as a major, major problem. So that's why I advise my students, get your rounds done before sunrise. Chant 16 quality rounds. Don't chant around here, around there, you know. Get 16 quality rounds done before the sun comes up. And if you can't do that, then do it before breakfast. Don't even eat until you finish your rounds. Then you'll definitely get them done. Your belly will force you. That I see is one of the greatest problems. It's the time demands. Some people have to commute for like 3 hours to work, 3 hours back, working 8, 9 hours. You know, it's very difficult. They practically just eat, sleep, and work, and their whole 24 hours is finished. Some people in certain parts of the world. That's a major problem. Another problem is family. The family doesn't want them to practice Krishna consciousness. It's a big problem, the family. That's a problem also. Family and work, those two things. A very big impediment. Of course, ultimately there's only one impediment, and that's the mind. When you really boil it down, there's only one impediment, and that's that damn mind. That's why Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, in the morning, go to the shoe rack, pick up those shoes and beat your mind 100 times. In the evening, before taking rest, you go to the broom closet, get a big thick broom again 100 times and beat the mind. This ultimately, you really boil it down to the finest essence, the mind is the biggest problem of all. In Hindi, there's a saying, if you can conquer your mind, you can conquer the whole world. If one makes up their mind that I must become a pure devotee of Krishna, nothing else matters. Everything else can be given up. Sarvadharman Puritjamjo. Everything else can be given up. Every other duty can be walked away from. I can wash my hands of everything else except for one thing. I must become a pure devotee of Krishna. That's it. Nothing else. If one has that staunch determination, then there will be no obstacle too great that cannot be overcome. So the ultimate problem is the mind. But the persons who are really serious about wanting to be a devotee, then they face, you know, the family is holding them back. You know, they want to practice, they want to give up illicit sex, but their wife wants illicit sex. Or the wife wants to practice it, but the husband wants to have illicit sex. They think, well, it's either, you know, the Vedic culture says we shouldn't have divorce, but it also says we shouldn't have illicit sex, so what to do? It's either I have to give up illicit sex or give up the marriage, and then the children are there. You know, there's a lot of practical problems like that. It depends. But these are some problems we see quite often. The family situation. They don't want to be in Krishna consciousness. Any other questions? Yeah.
In Krishna consciousness, we often talk about anarthas.
So what Krishna consciousness?
We often talk about anarthas.
Ananta.
Anarthas.
Anartha.
Anartha, yeah.
So what is it that we classify as anartha?
Yes. Anartha, we must become free from anartha. There are many, many, many anarthas. Lust is one of the major anartha, anger, greed, pride, fault-finding, laziness. These things are anarthas. Anything, ultimately, anything which is not favorable for your Krishna consciousness, that is an anartha. Anything that blocks your Krishna consciousness, that is an anartha. Our principle is accept whatever is favorable for Krishna consciousness and reject whatever is unfavorable. That is our principle. So anarthas are those things which are unfavorable. Unwanted dirt in the heart. To get rid of the anarthas is essential because unless you do that, you cannot get the taste of Krishna consciousness. In our progressive march back to home, back to spiritual perfection, the first step is Shraddha, to have faith. And then from faith you go to Sadhusanga, you associate with devotees. In the third stage, Bhajana Kriya, you take shelter of Guru, get initiated, follow all the principles under his guidance. The next stage is anarjanavritti, where you clean all the dirt out of the heart. If that stage is not, if one does not pass through that stage, you never become fixed up, which is the next stage, nishta. You never become fixed up, you'll always be shaky in Krishna consciousness. And if you don't become fixed up, the next stage after that is ruchi, your taste. You'll never get taste. So we have an easy way to get rid of the anartas, and that is the gross ones, illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, and gambling. You get more subtle. That's the 10 offenses against the holy name. If you can follow the four regulative principles and strictly avoid the 10 offenses, then you're on your way to anarta-nivritti. So you have to study the 10 offenses, each one of them. You must have good comprehension. This is why at initiation lecture, Baba wanted that the 10 offenses should be described when there is initiation yajna. During the lecture, the 10 offenses should be clearly described because this is essential. To become an initiate does not simply mean to chant 16 rounds and follow the principles. It means to chant 16 rounds, follow the principles, and to get rid of the 10 offenses. Otherwise, you can go on chanting for millions of years if you keep the offenses and not go back to Godhead. So we have to become pure chanters. We have to strive for them. Krishna can be kind to us. If we're sincerely trying our best, then surely Krishna will be merciful. But we have to sincerely try our best to become free from the 10 offenses at every step. You know what are the 10 offenses? Yes? Yes or no?
Cannot remember all of them.
Yeah. Well, you should be aware of what they all are. They're listed in Nectar of Devotion. You should look at that list very carefully and see that you're always be introspective and see, am I avoiding these 10 offenses at this minute or am I committing some of them right now? It's not only while you're chanting your japa, it's 24 hours a day we have to avoid the 10 offenses. Not just during your japa session. Throughout the 24 hours, we have to avoid the 10 offenses. So one should know. If we're critical of Vaishnavas, if in our mind we're thinking, yeah, this devotee has that bad quality, and this devotee has that, then we're committing an offense. Even in our mind, we're thinking bad thoughts about devotees. That's the worst. The first one. That's the granddaddy, Hati Mata, mad elephant. We can't have a mad elephant mind trampling on the devotees within our minds. You see? So anyway, that could be a whole seminar. Time is short. Any other questions? Yeah.
Can you run through those 10 offenses in the Nectar of Devotion, just quickly?
Can you go through the 10 offenses?
First offense is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name. The second offense is to consider the names of the demigods, such as Lord Shiva, Lord Rama, to be equal to or independent in the name of Lord Vishnu. Three is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. Four is to blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. Five is to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna as imagination. Six is to give some interpretation on the holy name. Seven is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting. Eight is to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra is one of the ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruit of activities, karma kanda. Nine is to instruct the faithless persons about the glories of the holy name. Tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names, and to maintain material attachments even after having understood so many instructions on these matters. And it's also offensive to be inattentive while chanting. This is the list given in the Nectar Devotion. Some may say, well, I know how to avoid the third offense. I just won't get initiated. Then I've got it covered. I don't have a guru. I won't disobey him because I don't have one. Great. Well, guess what? The supreme original guru, Adi Guru, is Krishna. And he says you must have guru. So if you don't have a guru, you're disobeying Adi Guru's orders. So you have to have a guru. And you have to be surrendered to your guru. Otherwise, you are nam apadadhi. Actually, but that one thing of just having guru and being totally surrendered to him, he will train you how to be free of all the inept. That's why guru is so important. Bona fide spiritual master, he trains his disciple how to become free of all offenses. Prabhupada certainly did that for us. By his life's example, he showed us how to be Shuddha Nam Bhaktas, devotees of the pure name. He taught us by his practical life, by his every word, his every action, his attitude at all times and all places and all circumstances. He showed us, he demonstrated practically how to be Shuddha Nam Bhakta. So that is the duty of the spiritual master. He must teach his disciples by his practical actions how to be Shuddha Nam Bhakta in all times, all places, and all circumstances. Any other questions? All right. We will stop here. Thank you very much. Raja Vidra, Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Sydney devotees Ki Jai.